First, I'd like to mention that on Sunday morning, Aura organization is going to have a demonstration in Brooklyn. It's going to be the first time, unfortunately, that instead of demonstrating in front of the husband's home, who does want to give a gift to his wife, we're going to be demonstrating in front of the home of a rabbi who's responsible for many, many, many husbands not giving a gift. So the main people we want to participate in the demonstration are rabbanim. We hope the rabbanim from Brooklyn and from New York area will participate. The students have free time. We appreciate students also, but I don't know, students, maybe they should sit and learn. Try to get your local Orthodox rabbi to participate in this demonstration. Before I speak about the topic that I plan to talk about, Shiduchim, it was brought to my attention that sometimes we have people visiting our base medrash who learn here for a while. They're not officially students registered in our school, but they sit and learn here. So it was brought to my attention that sometimes the students are not friendly to these guests. We have a mitzvah in the Torah, Haptam es Hager, and the Chafetz Chaim writes in his little Sefer HaMitzvahs that the mitzvah applies to not only to a non-Jew who converts to Judaism, literally a ger, it applies to a stranger who comes into a Beis Medrash, and he's not one of our students. You have to be mekarev him, say hello, and see if we can help him out, show him how to use the Svarim, where to find the Gemara as well, find the Shulchan Aruch, and to be mekarev them in general. This week's parsha speaks about the Shidduch of Yitzchok. Rav Levi Yitzchok Berditchever points out in his Sefer Kedushas Levi that the Torah never describes the Shidduch of Avraham Avinu. It describes how Yitzchok Shidduch came about, Yaakov Avinu Shidduch came about, Moshe Rabbeinu Shidduch, Levi is a little bit, Vayelech Ishmael Beis Levi, Yikach Espas Levi, Amram Shidduch. Never describes Avraham Avinu Shidduch, so he says because when Avraham Avinu met Sarah, he met her at a New Year's Eve party. They weren't Jewish. They weren't Jewish. So it's not worthy of being described in the Torah. The Shidduchim that are described in the Torah, Teretik Shidduchim, so people who are Jewish, like all of us, and who are B'nai Torah, we learn in the yeshiva, we should see to it that our dating process and our engagement period and our marriage and everything should be Torah dik shidduch and a Torah dik engagement that should be worthy of being incorporated into the Kisri HaKodesh. What is a person supposed to be looking for when he goes out on a date? If you don't know what you're looking for, then you're not going to find the girl that you need. The Gemara has a klal milsa de la rami aleidin and shlav adait. If you don't know what to look for, you're not going to find it. So you're supposed to look for an ezek enegdo, companionship. What exactly does that mean, companionship? So in the three-volume set that's called Kol Kisvei HaChafetz Chaim, they have the biography of the Chafetz Chaim that was written by his son. So in the official biography, he writes that his father was looking for a girl who knew how to cook potatoes, and that's what he got. He got a girl who knew how to cook potatoes. So I don't think that's going to work today. Even the biggest tzaddikim in our generation, I don't think they're just looking for a girl who's going to cook potatoes. They're looking for something a little more than that. So what are they supposed to be looking for? So some people who sit and learn think that they're looking for a chavrusa. They want to marry a girl with whom they'll be able to. I think that's a little ridiculous. You're not supposed to be looking for a chavrusa. Chavrusa is when you're learning, and marriage is something very different from a chavrusa in learning. Some people are looking for a movie star. A gorgeous girl is a movie star. It's a little ridiculous. The Gemara makes fun of those who are nosi isha l'shem yofi. Physical pleasure is an important part of marriage, but it's not supposed to be the main part of the marriage. By Umas Olam, the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk in Chumash Bereishis, Bulas bal yesh lahem, nichnas adachupa v'loi niva lo ein lahem. By non-Jewish people, that's what marriage is all about. Everything revolves about the bulas bal. So they don't have kedusha kesef, they don't have kedusha shtar. They only have kedusha bil, because that's the essence of marriage by Umas Olam. By Yisrael, we have Kiddusha Kesef and we have Kiddusha Shtar. We have Kiddusha Bi also, and the rabbis prohibited it. They said we shouldn't do that. Physical pleasure in marriage is a very important part of the marriage, but that shouldn't be the Iker. The Pasuk says, Sheker Achen Behevel Hayoifi, Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalol. That doesn't mean that you should ignore Chen and Yofi, you should only look for Yiras Shamayim. You have to look for Yiras Shamayim. But the Mefarshim explained, Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalol Bechen and Beyofi. If a girl has Yira Shamayim, then it's vadoyas that it's a mila that she has chen and yofi as well. But that shouldn't be the yikr. it's important the girl should be good looking. The Chachamim tell us Ashlosh Advar Machivim Daito Shalodam. Person has a harchavas hadas, he can relax and he can think and he can be an original thinker. If he has isha noa dira noa kelim noim, he has a good-looking wife and he has a nice, clean apartment, neat apartment, and he has nice furniture. It's important to have a good-looking wife, but it shouldn't be that. That's the most important thing in marriage. I remember there was a classmate of mine in college who was already divorced from his first wife before I even started going out on dates. Because he was only looking for physical pleasure. He was only looking for a movie star. He found himself a movie star. And then he realized that that's not the main thing in life. Is to have an Isaac and egg, though, is not that you have the most attractive girl in the world. So he was divorced before I started going out on dates. The Chachamim have very terrible things to say about one who gets married to a girl for money. I'm only going to marry a rich girl. The Gemara has all kinds of curses involved. We don't have to hold it against the girl because her family is wealthy. It doesn't have to be necessarily considered a chisara. But we shouldn't be looking dafke to be nice isha l'sheimon. We shouldn't hold it against them, but it does sometimes pose a problem. Every mila has a chisara. So it does sometimes pose a problem because makshim ha'olam, people are always bothered with the kasha. Why is it that the rich always marry the rich and the poor always marry the poor? Why don't we arrange the rich and marry the poor? And the wealth will be spread out over the whole world. The answer is that they won't be happily married. Wealthy people often have a totally different perspective on life, a totally different way of looking on everything, a different hierarchy of values. So sometimes it could be held against the girl, the fact that she's from a wealthy family. So you shouldn't hold it against her automatically because she's wealthy. I'm not going to take out this girl because she's rich. You have to see if the girl has those values that the wealthy people have. Maybe you'd like to join that style of living also. Okay, but if you're not interested in that way of thinking, keep in mind that wealthy people and poor people often have totally different outlooks on life. And sometimes that itself will cause incompatibility. What should a person look for? A person should look for Yirah Shamayim. Person has to look for intelligence also. Now, he doesn't need a girl who's a PhD, a college professor. A bentura, usually a boy who learns in yeshiva, wants his wife to be a little more observant than just keeping what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Usually he has, a bentura usually has certain midas chassidus that he would like to observe, certain chumras that he wants to observe. So he has to have an intelligent, the girl has to be at least intelligent enough to understand what he's driving at. She should understand what midas chassidus he wants to have. He has to have, there has to be compatibility. It's not like in the days of the Chafetz Chaim, she's just going to cook the potatoes and shoy. He needs someone to be able to carry on a conversation with. A boy has to realize he has to look for a balabasta. What is a balabasta? A balabasta has to know how to cook, how to keep a neat and a clean apartment, unless you love to live in filth. Balabasta, you marry a girl who knows how to cook, she knows how to keep a neat and a clean apartment, she knows how to take care of children. If you have a girl who helped out her brothers or her sisters raising their children, who took care of their nephews and nieces, that's a mala. It means the girl knows how to take care of children. That's important. You have to keep in mind, you have to marry a balabasta. Some people have in mind a funny attitude, I'm going to marry this girl in order to show all of my friends, whatever. I remember when I was interested in going out, so all of my friends were taking off afternoon seder, night seder, whatever, in order to go out. So I wasn't going out yet. And then in the summertime, somebody wanted to introduce me to a girl. So I was on vacation with my parents. So this girl was down the block. I was right near Camp Aguda, and the girl was the head counselor in Camp Enos. Camp Enos, Camp Aguda, right near each other. On paper, one is in Liberty, one is in Ferndale. But Ferndale is right down the block from Liberty, right next to each other. So I took out this girl from Camp Enos, and then I had in mind, I'm going to show all of my friends. They wasted so much time till they get married. I'm going to show them, 1, 2, 3, over the summer. I'm not going to waste any time, not going to lose any sedarm or anything. So then later on I realized, what a stupid thing. Well, I'm going to get married to a girl in order to show my friends. You have to get married to a girl if you think that that's the girl for you. She happened to be a very lovely girl. She married a fine person. She didn't marry me. So some have an attitude, some of the boys are interested in going on Aliyah, so they make up their minds in advance, they're only going to go out with girls who are also interested in going on Aliyah. I don't think that's a proper attitude. The pool of girls that you can go out with is already so small to begin with, so you have to, you're only going to marry a Jewish, religious, Orthodox girl. Modern Orthodox girl, okay. You're not going to marry a girl from Williamsburg. So you're already restricted. You have a small group, so you have to make it even 10% of that. You have to make it smaller. You made a nice girl. So you try to convince her to go and live in Eretz Yisrael. And if not, so you live in America. The world doesn't come to an end. You don't have to limit yourself unnecessarily. And what people think in the beginning, a lot of times the attitudes that they have in the beginning, they change their minds in the middle. If the girl is going to like you, she'll go on Aliyah with you. If the girl doesn't like you, so she won't go. I remember I once took out a girl, so we went boating. So the girl tells me on the date, her family is very close with Rabbi so-and-so, whose wife doesn't cover her hair. So she, when she's going to get married, she's not going to cover her hair either. So I didn't want to argue with the girl, but I have to go. But there's a whole world full of other girls. So I finished the date, and I took her home, and goodbye. I wasn't interested in pursuing the matter any further. P.S. The girl married a boy from Turbada. She wears a hat on top of a shekel. Originally, she thought she's not going to cover her hair at all. And then she met a nice boy, and she fell in love with him. So he wanted her to cover her hair. So she wears a hat on top of a shekel. She's very happily married. Some people have the attitude that when you get married, you're marrying the girl, you're not marrying the family, so you can forget about the brothers and the sisters and the parents. It doesn't matter whether they're Jewish, whether they're not Jewish, whether they're observant, whether they're sitting in jail. No. Nothing matters. That's ridiculous. Of course it matters. Why should I cheat myself? Why shouldn't I marry? When you have a family with a lot of siblings, a lot of brothers and sisters, it's a lot of fun. Every month there's another bar mitzvah, there's another bris, there's another pidyon haben, there's another shevet brachos. Why should you marry a girl whose brothers and sisters are not religious or whose parents are not religious? You get married to a girl, so you visit the girl's parents, Shabbos, Yontif. Girl's parents not religious, so you can't visit. So why should you cheat yourself? Why should you go in the first place to take out such a girl? Unless she's the greatest girl in the world, okay, a different thing. But if you have a choice in advance, they tell you two different girls. One girl's from a religious family with religious brothers and sisters. So run for that. Well, why should you even have a half a minute to take out the other girl? A lot of times a person sees a certain issue with the girl that he's going out with, but he thinks that he's going to overcome that issue and is going to work on the girl. The girl promises to change after marriage. It's a little ridiculous. You don't marry a girl on the smach that she's going to change after marriage. People don't change if they're 20 years old, wherever they are. The Gemara says the Bezon Shalmata punishes people after the age of 13. The Bezon Shalmail only punishes after the age of 20, because 13 is the Tchilos HaGadlus and 20 is the Gemar HaGadlus. That's when a person's personality is already formed. Nobody's going to change after the age of 20. Well, in Tshuva you have a couple of cases, but you're not supposed to marry a person on the smach that they're going to change later. I don't see how there's any shaila. Some people think they're not going to be genetically tested before they get married. Mishugoyim. Why should you marry a girl who's carrying the same faulty gene that you're carrying? You should run a chance of having a sick child and you'll be suffering for the rest of your life and the child will suffer for the rest of it. It's ridiculous. Seichel dictates you should always test yourself. You have Dor Yeshorim tests. They have their style. Dor Yeshorim doesn't test for all the genetic diseases. The Balabas, who's not a rabbi, Balabas who runs Dor Yeshorim, paskens shailos on his own. So he decided that we only have to test for those diseases that are fatal. For the diseases that the person will just be sick for the rest of his life, that's not pikuach nefesh, you don't have to test. Seichel dictates, not like the Balabas. Seichel dictates, why should you ask? Why should a couple marry knowing that there's a chashash, they can have a sick child? They'll be aggravated to death for the rest of their life, and the child will be suffering for the rest of their life. So Seichel dictates, Mr. Mehisul is going to change his palm. Seichel dictates, you should test for all of the famous genetic diseases that are prevalent among Ashkenazic Jews. And if it turns out that that they're not compatible genetically, so they should not, Seichel dictates, they should not get married and then have in vitro fertilization later on and check to see whether the embryo is healthy or not. That's ridiculous. You marry a girl, but you can have a normal marriage and normal babies. You don't go into a marriage on the smart that you're going to have in vitro fertilization. You check genetically, and if it's not compatible, so you say goodbye and you go meet someone else. Shulchan Aruch says that there's no din of kibbutz aviyim when it comes to shiduchim. If my heart is set that I want to marry a certain girl and my parents are opposed, I don't have to listen to the parents. But we should keep in mind that our parents have much more experience in life than we do. Our parents are at least 19 years older than us. No, at least 15 years older than us. And very often the parents understand better than the child. The child is blinded with whatever. The boy, the girl is blinded with they went out on dates with someone, they fell in love with each other, whatever they think that means. Whatever they think it means to fall in love with each other. A lot of times the parents have better, more seichel than the children. They understand better. So strictly speaking, there is no kibbutz aviyim, but we should listen at least. We should consider the possibility that maybe our parents do know what they're talking about. I belong to the parents' union now. So sometimes the parents do know a little better than the children. So the children should at least be prepared to listen. We're talking about religious people, see. I remember I was telling a couple just an hour ago that I remember I attended a wedding. Somebody from NCSY got married. So I was sitting in the audience there by the chasana, sitting next to Rabbi Pinchas Stolper. He used to run NCSY. So next to him was a non-Jew who was a business associate of one of the parents. So at the end of the whole wedding, the non-Jew says to Rabbi Stolper, "Hey, the groom didn't kiss the bride. What's going on?" So Rabbi Stolper explained, not only didn't he kiss the bride now, in public, he didn't kiss the bride the whole time. He never touched the girl. So the non-Jew couldn't believe it. What do you mean? Everything is a different stuff. It's not derech eretz when you go on a date to sit Google eyes and stare in the girl's eyes. You have to look at the girl a little bit. It's not derech eretz not to look at the girl. You have to look a little bit, but you don't stare at the girl. After you're married, you'll be able to stare if you're interested. If you'll have time to stare, you'll stare after you're married. But before you're married, even when you're engaged, it's not derech eretz. Sometimes you have engaged couples. The boy wants to make sure that the wife is going to observe Taharas HaMishpacha, so they sit and learn b'chavrusa hilchas nida. I think it's very improper. After they get married, if they want to learn together, hilchas nida is one thing, but not when they're engaged. They're engaged. If he wants to see to it that she should study hilchas nida, he should recommend which class she should go to, and she'll study with her woman. I think when people are going out on dates, I don't think it's so necessary to hammer out all the issues and all the details. See, now people will decide already before they get engaged how many children they want to have, which schools they will send their children to, which schools they will not send their children to. First, let God bless you with the children. And then you'll discuss which school. How do you know what's going to be? You don't know what's going to be. I don't know. When I got married, I didn't know what I was going to do for a living. I didn't know how many children we were going to have. We happen to have 9 children. I didn't know where we're going to send our children to school. You work things out as it goes along. If the husband and the wife love each other, so they'll be able to work out all the details later. There is a beautiful sefer that I enjoy very much and I recommend to others. There's one of the big rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, Yoel Schwartz, used to be, I think he may still be a mashgiach in one of the yeshivas. So he has many beautiful svarim. So he has one about what to look for in marriage, Binyan Adayad, written in Hebrew. There are several svarim about this. It's kedai to read through. He quotes Gemaris and Mamari Chazal, and he quotes from psychology books and so on. It's kedai to read up on the matter to see what Chazal has to say. You should all have hatzlocha in marriage and in all in your life.